Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank you so much for tuning in with me today. If some of you who may notice, there's not a video for this particular episode. I want to make sure video and editing and doing all that when it's just two people, really only one, and producing a video every single week is hard, especially when you don't have, you know, a steady stream of income to be able to compensate that time and that effort and that energy and to do all those things. So this week there's no video, just an audio version. I want to make sure that I'm always producing and publishing things that can encourage you throughout your week or throughout your day or whenever you listen to these podcasts, whether it's in the morning on your way to work, maybe it's on a vacation, maybe you're on a road trip, maybe it's a Saturday and you're trying to, you know, work and, you know, you need some inspiration or some motivation, or maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe you're battling depression. Maybe you're battling whatever it is throughout the week. You pop this on and this is your encouraging word or encouraging voice or whatever you need to motivate you, to inspire you, to continue to go on with your day. I want to make sure that I'm always producing something on a consistent basis. Not just something. I want to make sure that whatever I present is quality, that it's inspiring, and that it motivates, and that it encourages you to do better, live better, be better, and to take this journey with Christ with me. I was, as I just kind of really hopped right into it. I was thinking the other day, I have no reason why, I was thinking about this. You know what? I do know why. I was watching, some highlights, some football highlights. And, these highlights were, I want to say it was Cam Newton. He's on the New England Patriots now, and he was working with his wide receivers, and it was in practice. And my mind went back to, the days where I used to play football. And I used to wrestle. I wrestled in high school. I played football in high school. I played football for 3 years in high school, and then I wrestled for all 4 years of high school. I sucked at wrestling. I was okay at football. I went to Wayne State University. I was on the bench for 2 years. received salvation and thought it was best for me to pursue ministry over the, over playing football. And when I look back at those practices and when I looked back at those days in the hot sun, or in college, walking the bridge over to the athletic facility to practice in the bitter cold, whether it was the millions of miles that you ran, I hated practice. I mean, I hate it. In high school, we had these hills that we had to run. If you went to Flint Southwestern Academy, you know about them. And we used to have to run 20. And I hated those hills. And here's the thing. People would hate me on those hills because if I screwed up, you would have to run them again. You would have to do that one again. And I remember one time, man, our coach made us run a good 26. And it was only because they had to, we had to do so many over. And it was offensive linemen. Man, it was terrible. It was terrible. But I hated practice. I hated it. I hated it with such a passion. And I didn't hate the games, right? I did not hate the games. The games were fun. You got ready, you got hype, you know what I mean? Especially in high school, you got hype, you got ready, you went out there, you play hard, you really didn't get really that tired, and you know, you knew your plays, you knew all this kind of stuff, so you went out and you had fun, you was with your homies, you was with your boys, and it was great. But that practice, boy, man, I could not stay up right. I hated it. I hated to run. I hated to work out. I just hated that process. But that, what was crazy about that process though, what was crazy about it is if anybody played any sport, if you've ever played a sport, if you ever played an instrument, it is impossible for you to get better at that craft unless you practice. It's impossible. You'll never do it. You'll never be the best of the best unless you're good at practice. And not only good at practice, but my music teacher used to always say, because I also was in band in middle school and in elementary, my music teacher used to always say that it's not just practice that makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. In other words, how you practice is how you will perform. If you practice terrible, you perform terrible. But if you practice with intention and with diligence and with amazing effort, you'll give that same when it's time to perform or when it's time for you to be in a game or if it's time for you to do whatever it is that you are good at, you have to practice. There's no great athlete on this earth that has ever done well at anything and did not perform well in practice. Not only did they not perform well in practice, they enjoyed the process of going to practice. They enjoyed the time that they spent studying film. They enjoyed the time that they spent on the field. They enjoyed the time that they spent in the weight room, in the gym, running. Like, they enjoyed the process. Not that the activity was pleasant, but they knew that that process was making them better to perform at the game. You see, life is really made up of a bunch of practices. And a lot of times we get placed in performances and we don't do well because we didn't take the time to practice. This is all coming from, again, this thought process, but that I had while I'm watching this practice, while I'm watching this game, and I'm remembering those days of not being able to breathe, being tired, being sore, catching cramps, all this kind of stuff. And as I remember those things, one thing that popped out to me in my relationship with Christ is that really our relationship with Christ comes with a lot of practice. I know you're wondering kind of like what I mean by that, right? So I was getting down on myself because of some personal struggles that I have. Some things that I'm always trying to get over. I'm always thinking of, and because I'm my own worst critic, a lot of times when I self reflect and I look at all the things that's wrong with me, or all the issues that I have, I'm like, man, I'm messed up. Matter of fact, I got an episode of a podcast coming out talking about, and the title of it is I'm messed up. I'm like a messed up person. But don't at all feel bad for me, because you're probably messed up too. you're probably just as messed up as anybody, because all of us really are. All of us have extreme struggles, and all of us have extreme circumstances that we have to face, some more daunting than others, but all of us have them, and all of us have to endure them on a regular basis. What made me think about this with my spiritual walk with Christ is that you and your walk with God and your walk in life, there are practice moments that you run into that you probably really don't even notice are practice moments. I'll give you an example. Well, I'll use the Bible first, right? Just so that we can, because as I always say, the Bible is my source of truth. It's what I try to live my life by as much as I possibly can, to the best of my ability. But the Bible talks about there was a king, familiar guy. He has the first name as me. his name is David. The Bible talks about how David is a shepherd boy. He's ruddy. He's dirty. He watches the sheep. God was displeased with King Saul and his ability to be king over Israel. So God tells a prophet, who is someone who speaks on behalf of God. He tells a prophet, he says, hey, I want you to go down to a guy by the name of Jesse. Jesse has a son, and I want you to anoint him king. But before Samuel goes, God tells Samuel, I want you to look at the person's heart. Don't look at what they look like. And many of us have probably in our lives have experienced making some type of judgment like that, where we've judged somebody based upon how they look instead of what their heart really was. We do it every day. We catch a minister in a scandal, and the first thing we say is we judge that man based upon his action. We don't look at his heart. We don't look at his intentions. We don't look at his motives or what he has meant to the body of Christ. But what we tend to do is we tend to judge him based off of what it looks like, or whatever action he took, or whatever vow he broke, or whatever the case may be. There's a prominent minister right now who, they say, I have not read into this at all, but it came out that he had potentially cheated on his wife. And the first thing everybody did was, I mean, they picked up all their stones. I mean, I've never seen, as many imperfect people who I know personally. I know you struggle just like everybody else. And I mean, they're picking up their stones and they stoning the guy. I said, man, you don't know if what it is is true. You don't know if this is old. You don't know if this is new. You don't know any of this. And yet, man, you're looking at him without even knowing his heart. You don't even see his heart. You don't even see him as a human, as a person, as your brother. You don't even see it. We judge naturally by what we see. And unfortunately, that is not necessarily always the best case scenario to judge someone by. We have to judge them based upon how God sees them and how God sees their heart. Well, you can't know that if you're in your flesh and you are taking your preconceptions or your bad feelings of what maybe happened with your parents or happened in your homeboy's relationship or your girlfriend's relationship, and you take that energy, that thought process, and you place that on somebody else without being spiritual and seeing someone's heart. And so it's easy for you to pick up a stone than for you to forgive and pray. I digress about that, but we head into the prophet Samuel. He goes into Jesse's house and the oldest comes out. Jesse, the dad, he presents the firstborn and God says no. The second, God says no. The third, God says no. He goes all the way down. God, no, 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 no. Prophet Samuel is saying, man, Lord, you sent me out here on a goose chase. And God says, remember, Samuel, I told you, don't look at what they look like. He has another son. I want you to ask for him. I want you to ask Jesse, you know, do you have another son? He of course, he has dialogue with Jesse. And Jesse says, hey, yes, I my son, I have the baby boy. He's watching the sheep. Surely you don't want the shepherd boy. Surely you don't want the one that is watching the sheep. He stinks. He's musty. He's not as flamboyant as them. Look at this son. He's built this way. He's built that way. He has all the pecs. His shoulders is brawn. He's the tallest. He's the best looking one. Look at his beard. It's trimmed. Jesse's thought is that the best looking one was the best one that God wanted to use. We have these preconceived idea, even when we're looking for relationships and partners, that the best looking one means they're the best for you. Not so. The best looking one sometimes is the one who put more energy in what they looked on the outside than healing what's on the inside. But the prophet Samuel, he says, take me to David. And Jesse takes him to David. And I always wonder how David felt, that his own father would have rather introduced his older brothers than him, even though he's doing the most work or the hardest job. Prophet Samuel, he introduces himself. He tells David, God has chosen you and he wants you to be king. I'm pretty sure David, his mind is being rattled, but he accepts this challenge. And one day there's a day of war. And there's a guy by the name of Goliath. Goliath is about the size of a basketball hoop, maybe about a foot shorter. And he challenges the army of Israel. Israel and the Philistine army is fighting against each other. And Goliath, who's a Philistine, begins to come out and challenge the Israel's army. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. They've never seen anything like this. But David one day was going to bring his brother something to eat. David is naturally a servant. And he notices that there's a man challenging the army of God. And David says, who is this guy? Who is he? Who does he think he is challenging the people of God? And David, he's asking around, and his brothers come to him and challenges his intentions. Listen, people who don't know your heart, remember, they didn't know David's heart. The father didn't know David's heart. They thought that because of how they looked was the best. And when people don't know their heart, they'll judge your intentions. And they'll judge your intentions falsely because they don't know your heart. They didn't take time to get to know you and your heart. And so they make false accusations against you. That's not true. So David he brushes that off. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take this guy on. I can take him on. And so David, he gets ready to go. And as he gets ready to go, King Saul says, all right, man, how you going to fight him? You ain't got no armor. You ain't got no sword. You ain't got no this. You ain't got no that. He said, how you going to beat him? And here comes practice. David tells King Saul, he says, hey, when I was watching my father's sheep, a lion came and he tried to take the sheep. I reached in, I snatched the sheep out, I destroyed the lion with my bare hands. He says there was a bear. A bear tried to come out and tried to attack the sheep. And when the bear tried to attack the sheep, I was there to stop the bear. I defeated the bear with my bare hands. I killed him. Killed the bear. Killed the lion. Bare hands. David didn't know it at the time. I'm pretty sure when a bear popped out of nowhere to attack the sheep, that David was unsure why this happened or where this bear came from or why this happened all of a sudden. I'm sure there was fear that shook in his body, but he understood that if I don't take on this bear, he's going to attack the sheep. And I can't afford to let one sheep die. So I got to take the bear on barehanded because that's all I got. And when the lion came in, I'm pretty sure that David was flustered. He was upset. He was frustrated. Here we go again. First we had the bear. Now, God, there's a lion. But he knew he couldn't let the sheep die. So he attacks the a lion. And when David saw this moment to attack Goliath, I believe, the Bible doesn't say this, but I believe a light bulb clicked. That was practice. God was preparing me the whole time for this game day, for this game moment. Those small battles that I was fighting and that I was winning came up for this one moment. For me to take out this giant that's been destroying the people of God, that's been destroying families and striking fear into families and striking fear into friends. This is my moment. This is my time to attack him so that no, he doesn't go and attack anybody else. David was practicing and he didn't even know it. So my point, right? I'm pretty sure you're wondering that by now if you're still listening. My point in saying this is that all of us experience practice moments where you face trials, where you face tribulations, where you face challenges. And when you face those challenges, I know it has to be defeating. I know that is hard. But I promise you, it is for a purpose. It is for a reason. It is for somebody. And while it's not pleasing, while it's not delightful, while it's not the best experience, it's not the fanciest hotel, it's not the best house, it's not the best situation, it's not the best relationship, it's not the best circumstance, it is practice. It is practice for somebody else's deliverance. You see, when God birthed you, when God allowed you to come into this earth, listen, I really want you to hear me out on this. When God birthed you into this world, he knew you before your parents even conceived you. Whether your parents are together, separated, whether they've ever been together other than one night, God saw you and he wanted you here. And your whole life, God has been putting you in practice. Having you face these challenges and you overcome them. You overcome one hurdle. You come and overcome another hurdle. And it seems like every single time you overcome one hurdle, you're entering into another. But God is having you in that practice season, that practice mold, so that when game day comes and it's time for you to encourage somebody else, when it's time for you to inspire somebody else, when it's time for you to uplift your children, to uplift your spouse, to uplift your loved ones, your family, your friends, you can tell them, I was made for this moment. And I'm going to take this Goliath down so they don't take anybody else down. Yes, you overcame incredible odds. Yes, you overcame homelessness. You've overcome depression. You've overcome low self-esteem. You've overcome hurts. You've overcome bitterness. You've overcome pain. You've overcome trials. You've overcome tribulations. God has brought you through so much. You was molested. You was raped. You was taken advantage of. Nobody believed in you. They didn't love you like they should have. They didn't respect you like they should have. They thought that you was nothing. They thought that you was a nobody. But every single time those trials and those tribulations came, your daddy left you. Your mama didn't love you. Your brothers didn't believe in you. They thought that because you were the youngest that you didn't mean nothing, that you didn't have a voice, that you didn't have purpose, but God allowed you to endure all of those things so that when game day came, Game day is that moment when you meet that person who went through what you went through. That day that you're on that job and somebody confides in you about some of the troubles that they've been through. When you see somebody on Facebook and they write, man, I feel like giving it all and I feel like committing suicide and I feel like giving it up. You're the one. That's your game day. You've been in practice for these moments so that you can go out and you can attack and that you can deliver them and make sure that nobody else who went through what you went through has to endure like you did. God has been preparing you for game day. And while none of us enjoy the task of practice, it is important that we take our time when we are in our practice season, when we are in our practice mode, and that we put our time and our effort in being who God wanted us to be and surviving and making it through so that we can help somebody else get through. You are important. Your time is important. Where you are in life is important. I don't care what nobody tells you. So what, you failed? Get back up again. Practice some more. Keep practicing till you get it right. And when you do, and game day comes, you'll be ready for it. I just want to pray with you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for the grace that you've given us, that when we fail in practice, we can get back up again and try it again. Some of us, like myself, have failed so many times, Jesus. And we're coming to you today, asking that God, you help us in our practice mode, in our practice season. Help us to overcome the trials and the tribulations, God, that we get it right, so that when game day comes, we can help in that, we can aid in that, we can assist somebody in the same deliverance that you gave to us. God, we thank you so much for what you've done. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We ask that, Lord, you be with us. Keep us. And help us to be ready for game day. We thank you and we praise you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, thank you so much for listening to me today. I appreciate you taking your time with me, man. Again, no video this week. I'm looking to get some more video episodes running. I think right about now we got two. There's a third one that's being edited, and that'll be up soon. I look forward to listening again. Please like, subscribe, share, listen, share it with someone so that they can get their help, their deliverance. Comment, man, if it blessed you. Please, by all means, I used to say that I only wanted to reach one. And if one life was changed or if one life was inspired or motivated, that was good enough for me. But I thought about it and I said, I don't want to limit God. If this can bless a million people, then I want it to bless a million people. So please share it with somebody if you think they can use it. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you again for listening. Keep your head up. Keep practicing. You're going to get there. Thank you so much. Peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.